This segment of the Henry Rein Show is brought to you by Bite Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you. Welcome to the blockchain. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rein Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Second half of that financial
powerhouse
house block, whatever. Except it's really not the second half lately, these last few weeks, but we'll get into that in just a second. But it's the second half of the financial power block on WWPR 1490 AM, which has attracted numerous more financial shows to this station from the groundwork laid by Talking Markets.
Real estate, no, great time for it, too.
Yes, yes. Well, the groundwork laid by Talking Markets at 4.05 p.m. It covers all kinds of trading. You get Forex, cryptocurrency, commodities, stocks, options, the whole bit. But here, Henry Rein Show is your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. What happened this week? Well, Bitcoin suddenly fell another 7% as a new week opened with fresh coronavirus turmoil across global markets. And Bitcoin's flash crash, not the one this weekend, but the one last Thursday, you know, way back 4 or 5 days ago, triggered $700 million in liquidations on
BitMEX.
Of course, BitMEX.
BitMEX is crashing in the money.
So derivatives. Heaven for some people, I guess, and hell for others. And some players are calling... what a coincidental surprise. Some players are calling for what have previously been unmentionable. Circuit breakers in the market, much like the S&P, that would stop, as it has repeatedly over the last week. And actually,
two, three times a day now.
We hit two times today on the S&P, and that all got stopped. And then, how about some good news? Crypto derivatives provider Bakkt closed a $300 million Series B fundraising round. We'll tell you who was in on that action right after we say hello to half of the GreenBridgeInvesting.com founders. And that would, of course, be Andy, a.k.a. Andrew, the formerly the guru formerly known as Goldbug One. Lots of you probably should have stayed with that one because never use your real name.
Yeah.
It's Goldbug too late now. You're all over LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter. And your, that GreenBridgeInvesting.com. They even have your picture there. So there's no hiding now.
No.
But so, anyway, one thing I was saying was, sort of the second half of the block, but now because of Corona, because I was leaving to get to my class, which is really the only class that I have that I actually had a teacher that I ever met this semester. I've met a couple other teachers in the last year and a half, but almost everything is online. And now, because of coronavirus, we are totally online until further notice.
My son up in Florida is coming back. This is totally online. And they kicked him off the campus.
Well, you don't need to air the dirty laundry out here.
Yeah, they did. I mean, well, he's in a fraternity.
You mean along with everybody else.
Yeah, he's a fraternity, so they said everybody needs to go home.
They didn't find out about
imagine what that's going to do to Gainesville, because that's a college town.
I used to have businesses in Gainesville.
Yeah, so that's just not a good thing.
Before people could stay on their phone all day.
Yeah.
Well, they could stay on their phone, but they were attached to the wall. Anyway. Yeah, I remember when that Pac-Man game hit the town.
I remember Pac-Man.
Yeah.
I remember going to the arcade, and it was 50 Pac-Man machines, and every one of them had a player in front of them.
It wasn't like that, but...
Yeah. Well, at least where I came from, it was. And Asteroids?
Well, they had that. Actually, one of the first three-dimensional games I played there. But anyway, that was called Tail Gunner. But anyway, getting back to this. So I was even supposed to go take a professional certification test tonight. But that got canceled, too.
Oh, wow.
So I get more time to procrastinate studying for that.
There you go.
There you go. Yes, sir. All right. Well, You have any thoughts about the coronavirus or any of that stuff before we move into news?
You know, I think the coronavirus is creating mass panic, and everybody, it's, you know, last week was a sell anything and everything type of market to go to cash.
No.
So, you know, everybody's long cash, and I think, you know, maybe there's some more selling ahead of us.
A few people we know started to get back in the market today.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of stayed away. I don't like Monday, you know, Mondays.
Oh, well, you know somebody then.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't do anything today in the markets. Oh. No markets. I just, you know, hey.
Well, last Monday on your show, I was saying that I was going all to cash, which I did.
Oh, did you? Good.
Yeah, well, it was good for a while. Anyway.
That's the thing with going to cash is when do you get back in?
Well, when ASML tells you I'll tell you really when to go back in, and I would say this across the board for almost anything. When you see the cases in Italy,
well, it went down, didn't it?
No. More people are dying.
Oh, are they? It's sad.
They hit
there.
It 2 days ago. They hit a new record for deaths. It was up like it was like 300 people or something.
I thought it was only 200 today. No,
well, I don't know about today. I haven't seen today's number.
I thought it came down.
Today isn't over. You know?
Well, let me see. All right.
Well, you're doing that. I tell you, I've got news for you. Well, Bitcoin suddenly fell another 7% today as a new week opened with fresh coronavirus turmoil across the global markets. Bitcoin shed $1,400 in a day. We're down now as we speak at about 48.89. We've come back a little bit in the last 24
hours. It's trying to find some support and was actually above 5,000 until the speech today, the great speech. Definitely not a Reaganist speech.
I think it actually pulled back before the... For those of you that don't listen to the live and may be wondering what we're talking about, it was the Monday press conference in the White House.
I'm looking, you're right. I mean, Italy.
That's what I was trying to tell you last week. And I was the week before when Leonard and I were sending you the Twitter threads.
Yeah.
It's horrible over there.
I mean, they're over 10%. Of the total cases known.
They're already doing battlefield triage for people arriving.
Sad.
Now, if you're 80, just forget it. They're not going to ventilate you. They're not going to respirate. You're done. And then they work down the other criteria to see if, you know, you have to have a little more value than some other people if you're going to survive.
Or big money.
Well, if you've got money... I remember I had a doctor from Paraguay, and I was asking, this is years ago, like I was doing the regular news radio, and I was like, what's the medical system like in Paraguay? He goes, it's pretty much like anywhere else in the world. If you're a worker, the government pays for it, and if you're out in the indigenous, you're screwed. And if you got money, you can get whatever you want. So, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, this is for real over there.
Yeah, it's. See, we don't have. We're digressing, but what the heck? This is
why not?
What we do.
2,100 deaths. You're right. 350 new deaths. 349.
Because they don't have enough respirators and ventilators.
Yeah.
And we don't either.
No, we don't.
We only have like 100,000, and when you do the math out, we can overwhelm the system. That's why we got to flatten the curve.
Yeah. Important to do that.
Unfortunately,
of course,
everybody else should flatten the curve, and I should just keep doing what I want
to
do.
Yeah, of course, they were late to close their borders. They were allowing a lot of the Chinese. They have a huge Chinese population. They went to New Year's, and then they came back.
Once it's here, we right here in Manatee, Sarasota.
Well, yes, but for every one that you let in, it's just like a...
And actually, some of the Canada just closed its borders.
Yeah.
France, they're all doing it, but the horse is already out of the barn.
Well, yes, but let's say you got a lily, and a lily doubles.
Pretty Lily?
You got a little lily. You got a pond, and you got a lily. And the lily doubles every day. Okay? And you put one lily in the pond, and the next day you got two lilies.
Oh,
and then you got four lilies. And
well,
then you got eight lilies. Okay? So you're getting this exponential growth, right?
Yeah.
Well, what happens if you have two lilies in the pond starting?
Frogs love it.
So for every one that starts in there, your exponential growth starts to become exponential.
So let me see if you saw this news today.
Okay.
For Manatee and Sarasota County, for those of you listening from somewhere else, we're on the south side of Tampa Bay. We're the population center on the south side of Tampa Bay. There's about, I don't know, now there's probably, there's almost a million people between the two counties now in the little outlying areas. And Tampa Bay is about 4 million people. We have 8 cases now.
Yeah.
Just here. And we only started counting like a week ago.
Well, 8 known cases. I'm sure we have a lot more.
Yeah.
I'm sure we have a lot more.
But that's one of the highest clusters that have been announced in the state of Florida.
Yeah. Well, it's not surprising. You know. It's not surprising.
Be careful who you associate with.
Well, Florida's the number 2 visited state in the country for foreign travelers.
Well, but yeah, the Broward cluster is a bunch of New Yorkers that came down.
Yeah, I know.
So, now all you can do is try and mitigate.
Yes.
And
yeah, and they were slow to roll out the testing. There's no doubt that the testing should have been going on.
I did like at the 7-Eleven by the studio here that they had put a hand sanitizer on the window outside the 7-Eleven.
Oh, nice.
Because, you know, you can be all clean, and then you got to grab the slimy door that everybody else is, all those sick people have been touching. And now I can get the hand sanitizer on my way out.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter on the way in.
No.
I'm walking out at least the first time I walked in there.
Yeah.
All right. We're
digressing. So we had 9 deaths? We had 9 deaths?
In Florida?
No, 9 deaths overall. New deaths. We've had a total of 77.
I think we're over 10 in Florida.
Is it? Well, we have 77 total.
Well, they just put out new numbers. You know, all right.
And I have, you know, this is
just a weekly roundup of dead people and people that can't suck wind. So, all right, Bitcoin suddenly fell to $1,400, $1,400. It's down from the around 7,800 was when it started the decline last week. And then it went, like it usually does, through derivatives giant BitMEX, continued to face scrutiny after many investors argued that its technical problems contributed to Bitcoin's crash to 3,600 on March 12th, but we will say au contraire, and we'll tell you why in a second. Bitcoin's flash crash on Thursday triggered the most long short liquidations on crypto derivatives exchange BitMEX in 16 months. The market capitalization fell from 7,200 to a 10-month low of 5,678 in 15 minutes. They're talking about Bitcoin's price. I don't know why they call it market capitalization there. Catching most traders off guard, forcing liquidations of $702 million. That's the highest since November 14th of 2018. The price triggered $698 million worth of sell liquidations and $4 million worth of buy liquidations. So somehow even, I guess, got the short people out? I mean, because if you were short, you were looking good.
It was pretty choppy.
The exchange had registered total liquidation of $750 million on November 14th of 2019 when Bitcoin's price dropped sharply from 6,000 to levels below 5,000. So I think they just contradicted themselves there. But you go a little bit farther, and it rolls into the next story about we need circuit breakers. We need circuit breakers like the S&P 500. We need to stop that Bitcoin when it falls 7% or 10%, whatever it is. There's a number that we need to stop it, and we need to stop it worldwide, and we need to stop it 24/7. Make that happen, Andy.
Yeah.
Well, it may be that we had a stealth attempt like that. Now, in the previous story, it said traders were blaming BitMEX for their liquidations, but other people are saying BitMEX save the marketplace, which you don't hear that too often.
How did that happen?
Well, after a brutal week of sell-offs and flash crashes, some players are calling for what would have been an unmentionable, if not unthinkable, thing, the circuit breakers. Crypto currency markets currently have nothing, and we talked about what happens with the New York Stock Exchange when the S&P 500 gets to different levels. And like twice today, as we speak this Monday, it happened. Once in the morning, as everybody expected, and then once after the press conference at the White House today. So anyway, many exchanges had outages on Thursday, the first big day of this sell-off last week. And Coinbase had problems, Bitstamp had problems, but BitX was offline for maintenance for a total of 1 hour with a couple of outages during a day, which saw hundreds of million dollars in liquidations, like we previously said.
Okay.
Sam Bankman-Fried, CEO of Alameda Research, who I know you read their stuff all the time,
oh, yeah.
And cryptocurrency derivatives exchange FTX, which that one I don't know anybody that uses that, questioned the timing of BitMEX going offline just as Bitcoin was taking one of the worst plunges. In a tweet storm prefaced with, quotation marks, insane theory of the day, which always makes people take you seriously,
yeah.
Bankman-Fried postulated that BitMEX purposely shut down to stave off a complete collapse in Bitcoin. Bitcoin rallied without the gigantic sell wall of the BitMEX liquidations, not allowing the liquidations to take place and then going offline as Bitcoin's price made its way towards 3,700, removed a tidal wave of Bitcoin hitting the market. That allowed prices to quickly rebound above 5,000, thus making some liquidations unnecessary. BitMEX denied that. It was intention. It's quoting BitMEX now. Insane is right, Sam. You know better than to deal in this type of conspiracy theory, especially since you operate a platform in the space, the company's Twitter account said. There is no conceivable reason why a platform like BitMEX, which has operated for over 5 years and counting, would lower itself to the degree you propose to avoid a situation for which it is already prepared. Actually, they would be given credit for that. So Bankman-Fried replying, sorry for just suggesting it. I think I'm a bit confused why you're interpreting it so negatively, though. I didn't intend it that way at all. Well, whether or not it happened, we can speculate. But I like the theory. We were talking a week or two ago about how after the $150 million up and down liquidations, the more recent ones, when things seem to be stabilizing, were like $20 million, $30
million.
Well,
don't trade on margin.
Well, how are they going to make any money? But you know who else was having a bad week this past week?
Who?
In the Bitcoin space, as they call it.
You're going to say me.
In the Bitcoin ethos. No, we know you've already got a bad week.
I've had a terrible week.
Bitcoin's price crash last week cast a shadow over mining firms. Because all these mining firms have upgraded, bought the big, powerful equipment for the halving of the Bitcoin. Large Bitcoin mining farm operators in three countries told CoinDesk they've been on a buying spree to upgrade and expand facilities since September, reflecting a shared commitment to stay in the mining game. But the recent plunge crashing to below 5,000 with a 50% drop from its high in late 2019 is creating a little uncertainty for their profits. And according to the data from Mining Pool Pooling, even the most efficient equipment on the market, such as MicroBT's WhatsMiner M20S and Bitmain's Antminer S17 Pro, you got a couple of those hanging around in your back of your
always
office,
in the back.
Don't you? Anyway, is generating daily profits at a gross margin below 50%. Oh, how those poor guys or gals. Where they are. It's based on Bitcoin's current price and mining of difficulty. And an average electricity cost of 0.05 per kilowatt hour. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I mean,
tough all over.
That, you know, as it's just like oil, as miners become unprofitable, they become offline, and it shortens it up to where it is profitable again, so. Yeah,
except you can't have a 51% attack in the oil.
No. Well, I don't know. You just did.
What?
Yeah, Russia came in and attacked it.
Well, but no, they can't create, turn it into something else. Like you can, you know, half a bit, you know, hard, put a hard, but you can't put a hard fork in your oil. We got.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty hard fork here.
Yeah.
There's definitely a forkening.
Oil. Yeah, it was a fork you kind of day. So what are you telling GreenBridgeInvesting.com clients? You know, not to give away the
yeah, no, you know, stay calm. This isn't the first time. Remember, it's just pertaining to Bitcoin when it went down to 3,200 and it was the apocalypse, the end of Bitcoin. And then what, 6 months later, we were at 14,000. So it's just stay calm in these markets. You know, these are areas to kind of step in and buy a little bit if you're looking to add to your inventory. Or if you don't own any, yeah, good area to start. You know, start. It's better than 20,000, where a lot of people did. So just stay calm. This is all going to blow over. Now, it may not. It's not going to blow over in a month. It's not going to blow over in a month. I want to be very clear.
And as I often say on Talking Markets, Talking Markets, which is the GreenBridgeInvesting.com radio vehicle, podcast vehicle, don't ever do what I do just because I say I did it. But, yeah, I not only went to all cash, you know, in hindsight at a decent price, at least before the last week crash when I thought breaking down. I even pulled my because I have Kraken account and a Coinbase account. I just took the lesser amount that I have on Kraken, had it sent to Coinbase, went to cash and all that. And because I don't trust these exchanges, even though they're supposed to put you in an FDIC insured account with cash, I had the money sent back to my bank. That's how committed I am to going to cash on that part. And I was actually in a whole lot of, not quantity-wise compared to some people, a whole lot of cash, but for me, a whole lot of cash until this morning.
What happened this morning?
Well, this morning I... I don't know if I want to say the I can say the trades, but SOXL, which is the triple beta for the semiconductors,
yeah,
that hit a point that looked pretty much like long-term support, and I was like, wow, and you can sell the call against that for a huge premium on some once it comes back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a big premium, but when it starts going up, you can really sell high premium calls against your holdings, and it was looking okay. And I did hedge. I actually sold a call today, and I took a little profit on that. But I also was holding a put against it too. So whatever it went down since I bought it, I've probably recovered half of it by tomorrow when I close out those positions.
But interesting area for it to go long.
No, you're approved.
You know, there's still a little more pain that could happen. It's 69.
Yeah, there sure is a little more pain that could happen.
69 is the next support level, but yeah. You're not buying at 190, I mean, it's at 90 bucks.
Yeah, it's been as high as 330.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know.
I was like, this is about the only time I could, because unlike some of the other things, yes, now we're talking options trading, but why not? If you're on BitMEX with your 100-to-1 margin, you need a safer thing like options. But it's not like what I pointed out to you last Friday with the TQQQ, which is the triple beta of the NASDAQ 100, where it was a small premium. Even with this, it was a huge premium. Like, for example, it was trading around $100, and to go out not as far as we were talking last Friday, about like 2 years out, just to go out 6 months for $50 in the money when it's trading at $100, the option was like $70.
The premium, wow.
Yeah, so you might as well. So it was finally getting to the point where just buying it outright was better. All right, well, that was a little bit of a digression. But what does it have in common with what we need to be telling you about for this? Well, how about the New York Stock Exchange? Where's that connection, you ask? Well, because we've got good news now. I've got a series of three good news stories here, so we can go out feeling good. Crypto, well, you'd feel a lot more gooder. You'd feel real gooder If you own shares of BACT. But barring that, crypto derivative providers BACT, you know, U.S.-based. But they don't do it on the U.S. They have to do it overseas. But for some of their products, not all their products, they do some things there. Closed $300 million Series B fundraising round. Did you get in on that? No, I didn't either. I must have missed an email.
I didn't get the mail in time.
Yeah. According to the Post, authored by CEO Mike Blandina, Microsoft's M12, which must be their venture capital arm, PayU, Boston Consulting Group, Goldfinch Partners, CMT Digital, Pantera Capital, and BACT parent company, Intercontinental Exchange, which is the New York Stock Exchange, they all put up the money for the $300 million to go into more investments. But I did want to point out before, did you notice CEO Mike Blandina? It's not Kelly Loeffler anymore, because she's moving on up to the U.S. Senate. She did. And I have a feeling that when they hold the primary, she's going to come out on top on that, which is where she belongs to be, at least in the primary. And actually, it might be, well, it would not be a bad thing that if someone that had, not that she would ever let her personal interests interfere in the what's good for the Republic of the United States of America. But it would be good for the United States of America to have somebody that was so pro-cryptocurrency that they had hundreds of millions of dollars invested in its well-being. Anyway, so the new CEO referenced BACT's acquisition of Bridge 2 Solutions. That's BRIDGE, the numeral 2 Solutions. It's a loyalty services provider. Do you know what that is? Sounds like a rewards program, but I don't think that's what it is. Anyway, focused on launching Bitcoin futures and option contracts with parent firm ICE over the first year of operation. So it must be the technology that they're using, and they just bought them outright so nobody else can use them, I guess, without them getting a cut. ICE CEO Jeff Sprecher, and I don't know if that's Kelly Loeffler's husband, because they keep their professional names when these stories, said during a February earnings call he saw the acquisition of Bridge 2 as potentially opening back to an asset class worth $1 trillion. Yeah. You should see the look that Andy is giving me when I said an asset class worth $1 trillion. How much is gold worth? $9 trillion? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Well, maybe a little more. Yeah.
Anyway, he said, this is quoting Mr. Sprecher, "I'm excited at our potential to unlock nearly $1 trillion of digital assets." There must be some assets out there that haven't come to
be yet. What's the market value of Bitcoin right now?
I don't know. Probably $150 billion or something.
Yeah, it's pretty low. Yeah.
He must be anticipating some other digital assets like there. And I don't think
Tron's going to the moon.
I don't think it's Libra
either. Ripple like 300?
When the BACT app launches this summer. So they're going to have an app, even. When the completion of our series, well, that's already happened, is now a team of 350 employees and powers the loyalty redemption program for 7 of the top 10 financial institutions and over 4,500 loyalty and incentive programs, including 2 of the largest U.S. airlines. So I guess it is a reward system.
Yeah. Wow.
They're going to use it.
Are the airlines going to be around by then?
Well, they got a whole new market, so they don't need to worry about that. So your Sky Miles are good. Is the app for your Sky Miles going to run Bitcoin?
Bitflyers. Yeah, Bitflyers.
Company plans to launch the app by the summer. Yeah. So you can trade your Sky Miles for crypto derivatives now.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Well, so where else did I have to go for good news about Bitcoin? How about south of the border? Growing popularity of cryptocurrencies in Colombia has been widely discussed. Well, not so much here. Anyway, there's unanimous consensus over the key reasons that are driving this momentum. The fact is that there are several studies, such as one carried out by Statista. That's probably
Spanish
for statistics. Yeah. Anyway.
I do. I looked at them all.
Well, according to... I don't want to read through all this online poll, blah, 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 Latin Americans are used to... Anyway, but when you get down here, because being U.S. chauvinistic here, I'm going to go to the source Forbes, publish a list of the top 10 Bitcoin cities in the world, and Colombia's capital city of Bogota is the 7th place due to its 87 crypto-related businesses at the time. That was last year. Let's see. Number 1 is Prague. Number two, these are cities. Two is Buenos Aires. I would not have guessed that one.
Not me either.
Argentina had a lot of inflation. Colombia actually only has 3% inflation, according to this article. 3% in a fraction. San Francisco is number three in the crypto adoption cities. Madrid is number four. New York City, five.
Bradenton.
That's number 11. Then show you
that.
Amsterdam. Bogota is number seven. Vancouver, Canada. London, England. And Paris, France.
Nice.
And then finally, getting to the third feel-good story of this. The Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe is reportedly developing a crypto, developing a regulatory sandbox for cryptocurrency companies in the country. The news was reported just today by the local newspaper, The Chronicle. A Chronicle, it doesn't actually have the in front of it, citing a representative from the bank speaking at a conference on March 13th. The sandbox will reportedly help the bank decide if, it must be the central bank, World Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, of course, is a central bank, Henry. Decide a particular company can be allowed to operate independently. Speaking at the Sound Prosperity Economic Forum in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, I would assume.
Yeah.
Anyway, once you enter the sandbox, you either exist as a bona fide product to enter the market, or you're a guide to say that you need. Okay, that quote.
I never thought that they could ever inflate Bitcoin. But now that Zimbabwe is involved, I think it might happen.
I'm sure it's all above board and will be handled with great discretion and integrity.
Bitcoin could be worth a penny soon.
He did as it said that the decision to regulate has been motivated by growing popularity with the country's younger generation, and they are facing challenges of having capital. He admitted that they pose a regulatory challenge, blah, blah, blah. And we don't have details on this, but it has happened. Maybe we'll get Samuel Arms, he's the head honcho of Florida Blockchain Business Association.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a director or CEO or whatever they call it. But the Florida legislature just passed the regulatory sandbox for blockchain and cryptocurrency.
Oh, nice.
We'll get details. Maybe we'll get details next Monday. So what are you going to do, Andy, a.k.a. Andrew?
I'm going to, of course, staying busy. I'm going about my normal day. Work out every morning. Drove out to, you ever been out to Solomon's Castle?
Whose castle?
Solomon Castle out there, out in Arcadia.
No.
I rode out there this week, and it was a nice ride. You should go out there. It's pretty cool.
What did you ride out on?
My Harley. Yeah, you got to live life.
You ever been to Braden Castle?
No.
You really haven't been to Braden Castle?
Uh-uh.
The fort that was set up for Braden Castle in the middle of that little trailer park there?
No. Where is that at?
It's right at where the Braden River runs into the Manatee River. It's the Seminole Wars were not kind to Braden Castle. You probably don't. If I said Mineral Springs, you probably think of the thing down in Northport.
Yeah.
We could have Mineral Springs right down by the Manatee River.
Really?
That was where.
DeSoto?
No. Well. That was where the Creole Indians and the runaway slaves and whatever other Native Americans had a little, more than an outpost, like a community.
Oh, okay.
Until Andrew Jackson came through and,
Yeah.
Did that Andrew Jackson stuff to everybody that he didn't like.
He gave him tokens, though.
I don't think they had any tokens. I think they had the Everglades. They made it that far.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've covered a lot of ground. And even though I don't have to be at a real classroom.
You're virtual.
Yeah. We'll be back, and this song, closing song, is going out for all the Andrew Jackson fans here, and we'll be back next week with another Henry Rain show following Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew.
the merchant ship. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong. By the end of the Almighty, we forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever